Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dono-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
News and reviews without the hate and the clickbait. Yeah, I came up with that. good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. How's everybody doing tonight? Oh, man, so much shit going on in my neck of the woods. Welcome. Got to give everybody a little advance notice what's going on here, my neck of the woods. First off, thank you, everyone. Yeah, we're finally upping the production value of the shows, adding a little bit of intros, rotation, you know, more to come, you know, little at a time. Can't blow our load all at once, but, Twix, yeah, Rush Limbaugh died at 70 years old, stage 4 lung cancer. You know, that'll do it to you. That'll do it to you. If there's a show tomorrow night, I'll talk about Rush a little bit more, you know, since tomorrow is really any topic goes, you know, tonight is usually AEW, NXT, maybe a little Impact Wrestling, you know, Finn Juice making their Impact Wrestling debut yesterday. I'm going to hold my comments on that until Friday, because I want to see what the ratings look like for Impact Wrestling. You know, this forbidden door, they keep saying, look, if you say it a trillion times and you have all of these sites and podcasters and social media accounts that will retweet it because they want to feel like they're part of an extended family. They want a like, they want this, they want that. But at the end of the day, business is what matters. You know, getting a like or getting a retweet on social media is nice and everything, but if it's not a, you know, in translating into business, pay-per-view buy rates, merchandise, ratings, you know, that dictates how much we talk about it. Not just because 100 people on social media find it epic, amazing, epic, unbelievable, epic. You know, I'm just filled with emotion. We got to try to be, you know, distribute the shows, the content evenly. You know, I want to see what the ratings look like for Impact Wrestling. AR Fox coming to NXT, that'll be interesting if it happens. By the way, much love to everyone out there that remember Jordan Devlin and his championship status. Pretty funny tonight, all of the podcasters especially. And when I say podcasts and sites, I don't include all of you or other fans in on that, because you're watching it more of an entertainment value than anything else, as do I. But I have to always try to take it to the next level and understand why A, B, C, and D all come together sometimes. You know, that Santos Escobar promo tonight, postponing the match to next week, god-awful. God-awful. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. Tonight's NXT and AEW, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it. Riho, nice to see her back, but let's be honest, everyone. I got my results in front of me. With the exception of Maki Ito not advancing in the tournament, every match that has gone down so far in the AEW Women's Eliminated Tournament has been predictable to the umpteenth power. We talked about the brackets last week. Every match outcome so far, we have nailed, with the exception of Maki Ito. Now, I agree with you, Hydro. I wanted to see Maki Ito win as well. I know a lot of you out there wanted to see her advance. But let's be honest for a minute. And I'm going to be honest about me. I'm usually honest, but I'm gonna be the leader right now of honesty for all of us. Before Maki Ito was writing some profanity on social media, 99% of us out there did not have Maki Ito on the radar. Even when she was first announced for the tournament, a lot of us were like, oh, she's talented. But it was only until after she started dropping some expletives that suddenly everybody's like, yo, I'm digging her. I'm digging this. And then she does it in advance. And the social media outrage, I mean, tweeting Cody, tweeting Kenny Omega, tweeting others, how could she not advance? This is one fucking match. This is one fucking match. People are acting like this is Daniel Bryan. You know, before the tournament, almost nobody out there had her on the radar. I didn't. And because she's got a little connection on social media, people are making a big deal out of it. Come on. And guess what? Guess what? Maki Ito was not winning this whole thing. If you remember when we talked about the brackets last week, you expected Riho likely to go to the finals, because if she wasn't going to go to the finals, why the hell is she not on the Japanese side of the tournament? USA versus Japan. I almost said Japanese. USA versus Japan. I don't think Riho is an American citizen. I don't care if she is or she isn't. My point is, why is she on the USA side? Well, she's an AEW star. The fuck does that mean? You could see it a mile away. You could see Riho Thunder Rosa. And then on the opposite side, let's see, on the women's side. Hold on. Britt Baker versus Anna Jay. The winner of that match, Britt Baker, is going to take on the winner of Ty Conti versus Nyla Rose. I mean, you could see it a mile away. And then you got the rematch. You know, that, oh, I'm not complaining. Because I got to be honest with you, the four Japanese women matches that we saw on Monday, I didn't get a chance to see them until last night. But phenomenal. Phenomenal. I mean, this tournament is uber predictable. But if the matches are great, so what? So what? So for those out there that have not followed closely the tournament results, let me give you the Japanese side from the matches from Monday. You had Yuka Sakazaki beat Mei Tsuruga, which is, like I said, the only match that we have gotten wrong so far is Maki Ito. And by the way, how cool is it to see Venny come out wearing Hana Kimura's kimono? I thought that was so nice. So nice. I mean, really, really nice tribute. And really nice. Really nice. Emi Sakura over Venny. Ryo Mizunabe over Maki Ito, and Aja Kong over Rin Katakura. So now for the semifinals, you have Emi Sakura versus Yuka Sakazaki and Aja Kong versus Ryo Mizunami. So we'll see what the outcome is with those matches. I know next week we have more matches in the tournament, and you know, they announce matches 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now is the next big, I don't want to call it supercard, but you know, every couple of months, doesn't necessarily have to have an NXT pay-per-view theme to it on a Wednesday, but every couple of months, you see NXT and AEW announce big matches 2-3 weeks in advance. March 3rd, mark it on your calendar, because March 3rd will be the next big event as far as Wednesday night goes. Yes, they're hyping, you know, Jade Cargill and Shaq versus Cody and Red Velvet. By the way, congratulations to Cody and Brandy. Live on Dynamite tonight, they did the gender reveal for their baby, and it was revealed that they are having a girl. So congrats to the wonderful couple. Brandy now showing, obviously. Yeah, we had Zoe Stark make her NXT debut tonight. very, very dominant in her match. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I got to be honest with you. You know, I was not feeling both shows today. Was not feeling it. A lot of storyline stupidity. Some matches were phenomenal. I'm not saying that matches weren't good, but there was some that were less to be desired. And my God, I've been doing, this is, I think, episode 74 of Wednesday Night Dynamite. If you notice, majority of what I've said so far, I'm looking straight at you. I'm not looking at notes. I'm just telling you whatever comes to my mind. But in all 73, oh, we'll talk about Sting. We'll talk about Sting in a second. I have something to say about that. But this is episode 74, I think, of Wednesday Night Dynamite. And up until this point, I got to be honest with you, I think tonight's NXT was my least liked episode to date. Did not like it at all. They hyped nothing. I mean, I knew something was wrong when 10 minutes before NXT starts, Triple H is hyping up NXT, and I'm looking at NXT social media, and I'm like, wait a minute. The entire week, they have not put the banner once of Santos Escobar versus Karrion Kross. If anybody saw my preview this afternoon, I had that match in the banner, and I had to change it. I didn't take that banner from NXT's website. I had to make my own. I mean, I have the PNG graphics, and I make my own to make it look exactly like what you, when you see this, let me show you. When you see this, you see on the right, I have the templates, and I have all the PNGs. So when they don't put it on there, you know, I'm trying to make my own so we can kind of like give you a little idea as far as what's going on for the episode. They didn't mention it once, and I'm like, how do you not promote this? Now, what I was going to say earlier, props to all of you out there that remember Jordan Devlin and his championship reign. Because it's hilarious to see people out there that do websites and blogs and podcasts. And yes, I focus on them because they're supposed to, you know the storylines. They're supposed to follow this. They're the ones that say they watch it on a weekly basis. And then you have, look at MSK. MSK. These fucking guys were wrestling as the Rascals in Impact Wrestling, and off and on, we would talk about the Rascals, and we would comment about it here and there. But now you see people out there that are running sites, they're acting as if they've never seen MSK before. Best tag team in wrestling today. They're going to win the tag titles. They're going to do this. You know. I mean, tell me what's so fucking different other than opportunity the last couple of weeks. People are acting like they've never seen MSK before. It's ridiculous. And Santos Escobar against Karrion Kross next week. Enter Jordan Devlin. Jordan Devlin is the NXT Cruiserweight Champion. In March of last year, when COVID hit, Jordan Devlin was not able to be in the States and defend that title. You remember, we criticized it. Why aren't they stripping him of this championship? No, instead, they're going to do an interim champion. Remember that? Remember that interim champion? What do you mean interim champion? Why didn't you have an interim NXT heavyweight champion while Karrion Kross was injured? Why didn't you do an interim heavyweight championship when Finn Balor was injured? Interim champion? What is this, a college student working for a radio station? Oh, he's an intern. A lot of people forgot about that. Jordan Devlin is still the NXT Cruiserweight Champion. Santos Escobar is the interim champion. So whatever transpires next week, yes, one fall, you are right. Jordan Devlin is the longest reigning Cruiserweight Champion of all time. And if you want to go one step further, look at Jon Moxley. How long has he had that IWGP championship? What, over a year? Has he defended it? So look, obviously, because of COVID, we don't hop on that. These guys want to work. They just couldn't. They couldn't travel overseas. Totally understandable. But so quickly, people forget about Jordan Devlin. So you know a swerve is coming next week or the week after at the most. It's going to happen. Long ass time, man. You think about it. A year with COVID. Doesn't feel like a year. Feels like maybe 7-8 months. It's a year. It's amazing. I went back yesterday. I had a couple hours free. I couldn't sleep last night. I went back and I listened to content from a year ago at this time to see, you know, like how everybody was reacting about COVID. And we still thought that WrestleMania would have fans. And if you remember, I thought of the idea of the gift bag where every fan gets sanitizer and a mask and gloves and everything. I mean, obviously it didn't happen. But it's amazing that a whole year has gone by. And, you know, thank God the beginning of the end is here. Now, let me be perfectly clear. There are variants of this COVID virus overseas. The African variant, the UK variant. You know, people need to understand, okay? I know there's a lot of you out there that are afraid that the vaccine will not be able to handle the variant. You have to look into and understand what the spike protein actually is. And the spike protein itself has not changed. What you have to worry about is that it's more contagious. You know, that's what the risk is. But, you know, look at the numbers. I mean, I think Canada is down 60-something percent as far as infections. So, you know, we can't take our foot off the gas right now. Now, when I opened up the show and I said there's a lot going on over here, obviously, you know the situation with my dad. You know, this is going to be months of hardcore rehabilitation. What some of you may have forgot about, and I'm hoping to God our snowstorm does not start until late tomorrow. This is where it affects tonight's show. We're getting snow, big time snow, not as big as Chicago and other areas in Texas. My God, I've been talking about Texas all week. You heard me on Monday say that you could take care of your own backyard, you could take care of your block, but you go a couple of blocks away and you might get caught in a sheet of ice. And look at all those videos going on of cars just skating down. I mean, it's not even funny because there's a shitload of damage of people getting seriously injured. Crazy shit. But here's the deal. We're getting snow over here tomorrow. We're supposed to get anywhere from 6 to 10 inches. It's supposed to start in the wee hours of the morning over here and run until Friday afternoon. Now, I'll be 2 seconds with this. Tomorrow is the day. Myself, my mom, and my dad are supposed to get the second shot for COVID. The second shot. As of right now, they have not canceled the appointment. So I'm hoping that the snow doesn't start until later today in the day because our appointment is for 12 noon. So as of right now, I have to leave my house tomorrow like 7:30 in the morning, go to my office for an hour or two, and then I got to shoot out to the parents' house, get them ready, because we got to go to the site by 11:30, and if it's already snowing, it's going to be a mess. My father's not even 2 weeks removed from heart surgery, so he's going to have to hang out in the truck until it's time. So tomorrow, we're getting hit with crazy snow, and we're supposed to get the second shot for the vaccine. I don't know what kind of side effects we're going to get. I know, you know, what to expect. The younger you are, the harder the side effects because your immune system is stronger. The older you are, the less your immune system is, the strength of your immune system. That's why older people are not suffering as much side effects as younger people with the vaccine. So as of right now, my plan is to leave early tomorrow morning, go to work, go get the vaccine. But then the problem is my brother's in Florida on business. I can't have my parents shoveling a foot of snow. So Thursday night, I'm supposed to be here at home doing Q&A. So if everything goes how I envision it, I'm going to come back home Thursday night, hang out here, do the show for all of you, and then early Friday morning, not go to work, go to the parents' house, shovel. That's my plan. There's a possibility if the weather is really horrible that I might not be able to do a show tomorrow, and I may not be able to do a show Friday. Just stay tuned to the my Twitter and, you know, the YouTube page, because that's where you get the notifications. I could post it other areas as well, but just be on standby because I don't know what's going to happen. So I want to get this show done quicker than usual tonight. Now, let's talk about Sting. We just had Valentine's Day. I'd be a little perverted for a minute. I want you to pretend that it's Valentine's Day and you're with your significant other. I don't care if it's man, woman, woman, man, man, woman, well, whatever it is. And you're above, on top of your significant other. Not, doesn't have to be sexual, but your significant other is laying in a bed, maybe partially naked, and you're just hovering over that person, and you want to just tell them how much you love them before you decide to do the nasty. Now, I want you to just picture for a minute that you close your eyes, that person is laid in bed, nice and relaxed, and when you open your eyes, you see this. Ah! 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 You think he ever, when he blew a load, you think his significant other ever said, do the crow, just once. Oh, I'm gonna, ah! Ah! I saw that today, and I said to myself, either that looks like perverted Valentine's Day, or you remember the scene in Goodfellas when Ray Liotta falls asleep in his bed with the gun in his hand because he thinks he's going to get whacked, and he wakes up and he looks over in the gun. That's what Sting looks like right now. That's from today. That's from today. Romantic. Ah! Now, let's put the jokes aside for a minute. I did a little humor online because you remember the story. Hey, Darby, you think Sting is ready for the street fight? Yeah, I saw him jump a 6-foot fence. Remember we talked about that last week? Yeah, he's ready. I saw him jump a 6-foot fence. Tonight, Sting tried to jump a 6-foot cage. Didn't work. As much we have been criticizing the use of Team Taz towards Sting. And even tonight again, you saw for a moment, it seemed like that Taz and Ricky Starks were going to exit the area. And where was Hobbs? Well, you know what? He might have been because of the weather a little bit. Tully Blanchard was not there today because of weather. But Sting, he broke his AEW cherry tonight. Is that probably the way we could say it? Because obviously, and you've heard me say this since the day Sting signed with AEW, I said, number one, I love a little nostalgia. Give me a little nostalgia. I'd rather appreciate someone that could still do it a little bit than wait until they're 65 years old or really injured seriously and can't do it, and you just have to go back and watch old footage. What I've also said since day one is that Sting knows his body better than me, better than you, and better than all these goofs that ripped. Oh, he's 61. He's one move away of being paralyzed. Yeah, Dr. Goofs. Dr. Goofs online. They all know it. They all know Sting's condition. They all know what he can do and what he can't do. Sting tonight, basically, that was his way of telling everyone, I'm good to go. Talk about a test, man. It wasn't a light powerbomb. I mean, if you go back and you look at WCW and sometimes Kevin Nash's powerbombs, and you see some people that just like toss them gingerly, you know, just toss them, you know, lift them up and you test them. It's a nice little toss. Fucking Brian Cage, you know, Sting told him, give me all you got. Brian Cage, give me all you got. Cage, give me all you got. That's right. Give me all you got. That's it. Sting, when he looked up at Brian Cage, probably in his mind, he's like, you motherfucker. What the fuck did Brian Cage gave him a sick powerbomb tonight. And Sting appears to be fine. So, sure, one powerbomb, you know, doesn't mean everything. But that guy took a big-ass powerbomb today that I think even me, if I would have taken it, even 10 years ago, I think I probably would have been like, you know, when you lose your wind, you, not break wind, but when you get the wind knocked out of you, you like play football sometimes and you get tackled, you're like, because you can't breathe. That's probably what happened with me if I took a powerbomb like that. But that was awesome tonight, man. I truly, truly think that Sting tonight shut a lot of people up with that one spot. Don't expect too many of those. Don't expect Sting to start doing Darby Allin stunts like, hey, maybe you could powerbomb me off a bridge. Yeah. You're not going to see that. So. SoFly, that is Impact Wrestling's decision to have Tessa go over on Brian Cage. Don't hold that against Brian Cage. Seriously, that's Impact Wrestling's decision. By the way, you like all that Sammy Guevara garbage that floated around last week with Impact? That major heat in this and that? Major heat. Never mentioned it once. Soon as I saw that, I emailed a couple of people I know. Hey, you know, what's going on with that? Your guess is as good as mine. Honestly, when I get the response, your guess is as good as mine, I'm like, okay, that's all I needed. You know, we want to be right, or do we want to be first? No. That's my motto since day one. I wish more people would take that advice. You know, it's funny when they're sure they're right about something. Exclusive breaking. You heard it here first. But when they're not certain, there's an L-Y written after certain words in their sentence. Reportedly, likely, possibly. And did you see Sammy do that little vignette? He's rolling out in the snow. He had so much heat on him, he decided to cool off by rolling around in the snow. The goofs are at it again. You're right, Kevon Lewis. Juan Zamor Torres, stay safe, my friend. Tuning in right now from San Antonio. Nice analogy. Chris, SoFly, Hydro, Jason, John, Kevon, Austin. Shout out to all of you. And as I always say, I'm sorry for sounding like a broken record, but if you're enjoying the show, I'd appreciate it if you smash that like button. The more you do it, more it tells YouTube you recommend the show to others. And I tell you, more and more every week, a lot of you are sending me DMs and emails with screenshots. Hey, look what recommended video showed up today. Hey, look what a suggestion showed up. So keep it going, man. The channel gets bigger, you know, and we'll keep trying to amp it up a notch. So now, another thing tonight. I never paid attention of the Young Bucks family. They were at ringside tonight during their match against Santana and Ortiz. Loved the match. The inside cradle was kind of like, all right, whatever. But after the match was over, the Inner Circle beat down the Young Bucks. They're teasing a little more dissension with Kenny Omega. You know, Don Callis, you know, stay out of it. Gallows and Anderson just slowly go to the ring. Oh, you okay? Inner Circle run away. But Jericho had a little confrontation with the Young Bucks' dad at ringside. I never saw him before, or maybe I just never paid attention. I had no freaking idea that the Young Bucks' dad was Waylon Mercy. I have people today saying, oh, that looks like Arn. That looks like this. I'm like, come on, man. That's Waylon Mercy. All you had to do is just take the little tiny cross and just take the little, you know, put the little black ink on his face. Come on, that's Waylon Mercy, man. Seriously, I popped. It's all good, man. It's all good. So, but anyway. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's just get it out of the way now. I know Jim Ross called Kenny Omega the WWE champion. Jim Ross worked for so many years in WWE. You get older, you know, you kind of get a little mixed with words, not a big deal. You know, I don't mind that people are talking about it. Yeah, I would bring it up too. But, you know, if we start seeing jerk-offs making news articles about it, that, you know, Jim Ross calls Kenny Omega WWE champion, oh, fuck you. Seriously, wasn't a big deal. Wasn't a big deal. Who dat? Who dat? Yeah, who dat? My God. Can we be honest for a minute? Seriously, can we be honest for a minute? I mean, WWE really has not hyped up much as far as what we're getting next week. I know Xia Li is going to beat the shit out of Casey Catanzaro, but AEW always announces many of their matches a week in advance. And I like that they do that. But I personally think next week's AEW card looks like absolute shit. Seriously. What they advertise tonight to me feels like, hey, you know what? March 3rd, we're going to be focused on next week. Let's just get past next week. Because they announced for next week, Hangman Page versus Isaiah Cassidy. I have no problem with the match, but if I miss it, I miss it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't. Also next week, again, we have Anna Jay versus Britt Baker. They're going to take, whoever the winner of that match is going to take on the winner of Nyla Rose versus Ty Conti. Ricky Starks and Brian Cage are going to take on the Varsity Blondes. You sound like AEW dark matches. Brandon Cutler, or as Jim Cornette calls him, Cutlet. Brandon Cutler, you know, you kind of think he's a member of the Ascension. He's taking on Jake Hager. That's what you announce next week? What the fuck is the main event out of that? I'm sorry, man. You ever, when you went to school back in the day, you have come up with a fake doctor's note. I can't go to school today. You know, my rat died. You know, my rat died. Whatever, you know. I got blah, 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 blossivus. If I could come up with a doctor's note next week as to not do the show, I might actually consider it. I'm not kidding. That is just, I mean, I know you want a reward people that work their ass behind the scenes, you know, but seriously, like Varsity Blondes, I like them, you know, but on the main roster, you know, they have some competitive matches and then they end up losing anyway. You think there's any chance they're going to lose to Starks and Cage? What? Was snow going to come out of the rafters again and Starks and Cage are going to freeze and then they're going to lose because of that? It's just, it feels like a blah card. And yes, they're going to still announce more matches, obviously. But talk about announcing matches. Let's also, oh my God, when AEW went off the air with this, I thought of over a year ago. I try to do the shows really without clickbait and hate. I know it's a little corny catchphrase, news and reviews without the hate and clickbait, because you see big bold letters, all that garbage that's on there. And yes, I could do it too and get more views, but I'm not going to do that. But I got to tell you, man, I do like once in a while watching people get triggered, watching people who claim they are the toughest son of a bitches in the world and one person insults them and they got to write 55 tweets and do a 5-hour podcast about one person. I love when I see people. I love when I see the almighty end up being smaller than a fucking pencil dot. And I love seeing goofs get triggered sometimes. Do you remember when Moxley took on Omega and had that pay-per-view main event? I don't remember who they were. I don't know if it was Saps or whatever they, but I remember somebody's blue check mark podcast actually tweeting, go back if you think I'm making it up. I feel very uncomfortable right now. Remember, they used movie props for some of the weapons. And people were tweeting, I'm kind of queasy right now. Holy shit. So many people got uncomfortable and triggered over this violent death match that Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley had. Can you imagine what these people are going to do when now you're going to have an exploding barbed wire death match at Revolution? Oh my God. I can't wait. I cannot wait for that match. Seriously, I'm going to sit back and enjoy every second of that match. And if I live stream or whatever, I am going to make sure or watch along. I'm going to make sure to have on the screen the social media accounts of some of the real winners out there. Just seeing them feel uncomfortable and queasy and want to turn off the channel. Oh my God, I can't freaking wait. I know, Mr. Mike, there wasn't even, there was a little blood if I remember. Oh, man. No, Daniel, there was some fake outrage. I agree with you, but don't say that most of that was fake outrage. No. People legitimately were triggered over that stuff. Trust me. Go back and look at some of the reactions. People, the aftermath. Talking about bike, go back and see it. Oh my God, I can't wait till that happens. I can't wait till that. Oh God. Yeah, reminds you a little FMW, but that's right up Moxley's alley. Moxley fucking loves that. Kenny Omega and Moxley had a ball when they did that match. And as much as we criticize and we give compliments, I give a lot of props to Tony Khan for not caving in for the social media outrage, because a lot of people that hardcore support AEW felt that that match was unnecessary that went down. A lot of their biggest supporters felt it was unnecessary. Good for Tony Khan for not moving away from that. Because remember, he did some interviews and was put on the spot. You think AEW will do another match like that? Remember the responses? Good. Give them a lot of credit for sticking to that. By the way, Dory Funk Jr. was there tonight. Good to see him. So, want to just give a quick shout out, Philip Maffey. He thinks the ratings might be lower than last week for NXT, but they really need to change something to get more fans. Yeah. Organization. Stop fucking. Look. I love William Regal. I know a lot of you out there love William Regal also, but he looks like a fucking goof that you have Santos Escobar in a car storyline. Some people think it's real. In a car storyline, I'm not showing up at the building today. I'm going home. And William Regal is like, oh, well, if you don't show up next week, you're going to get stripped of the title. Well, you're just an interim champion anyway. I mean, it makes William Regal look this much. It's not his fault. It's WWE's fault. Oh, Santos Escobar pushes all the buttons, and William Regal just takes it. That's it. Seriously. William Regal, this is basically William Regal tonight. Santos Escobar is like, in storyline, I got to keep saying in storyline because some people think it's he really did back out of the match. Calling him, you know, pussy. I'm not fighting tonight. And William Regal, if you don't show up next week, you're going to be stripped. They just did that crap with Santos Escobar. Who is the one he faced a week ago or 2 weeks ago? Oh, my God, I can't remember his name right now. What was his name? Chat room, bail me out on that. Santos Escobar beat the crap out of him backstage. And, you know, instead of, somebody in the chat, come on. Kurt Stallion. Thank you very much, Chris. Kurt Stallion. He just did that. Well, I got a boo-boo. I got beat up from Santos Escobar. Oh, will you have a week off? I don't like that, man. I don't like that. But in 2 weeks, we get Dakota Kai. and Raquel Gonzalez versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I was so hoping tonight we didn't get a whole joke. And right at the very end, you know, Nia and Shayna walking up the rampway, I'm like, good, good. No whole stuff tonight, please. And then you got Raquel Gonzalez. I'm going to take this trophy and shove it up that hole. All right, whatever. What do you all think? Chat room, what do you think about Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez turning babyface? I'm not saying that's going to happen. I mean, WWE could go in that direction after this. It's only one match. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Shit, I should have put the chat room on the screen tonight. Things were so disarray today, you have no idea. You know, just preparing for tomorrow and for Friday. So big shout out. And by the way, to all of our members that are on YouTube, I will definitely on either tomorrow or Friday show, I'll be doing one of those two, obviously. I will definitely shout you all out for sure. Okay, so far we got a couple of thumbs up. What do you think? Okay, a few people, no. Jason's thumbs hurt too much, so he's not giving one. For the most part, it seems like a lot of people are more thumbs up. You know, I don't know if I feel Dakota Kai as a baby face. I mean, I remember back then, but I think she's done so good in the heel role. I wouldn't change her. Lewis, it's not a matter of being rated or overrated or anything like that. I'm just curious if you all like the idea of turning them. Raquel Gonzalez is a beast, and I'm really excited to see what they do. Kind of sucks that we got no follow-up after Io Shirai retained. Like, I expected something with that. But, you know, obviously, they're now buying a couple of weeks. And once again, I'll keep saying it. I liked Riho versus Serena Deeb tonight. I like the tournament. A lot of the participants worthy, especially on the Japanese side. What are you doing with Hikaru Shida? Where are all her freaking matches? Look at Hikaru Shida's title reign the last 2 or 3 months. It is awful. Darby Allin, how many times has he defended that TNT championship? Twice? Kenny Omega, where is the direction? Just because Moxley cuts a promo, You're still in my headlights. I know they're having the death match, and I'm loving it, but let's put that aside for a minute. What has happened with Kenny Omega's title reign since he won it? You know, he didn't win it 2 weeks ago. He won it, what is it, 2.5, 3 months ago now? 2.5 months. And it goes on and on and on. The Young Bucks tonight took on Santana. Could you believe that Santana Ortiz, apparently this might have been their first title match for the tag titles? That's incredible. I could understand if this was March of last year, April, May, June, where COVID is still a lot of unknown and, you know, just really having a shutdown. So, but we're starting to come out of it slowly, but we're starting to come out of it. And it seems like the more we're coming out of it, the less that these titles are being defended. I mean, do you, like, all right, here's another one. I don't know if anybody thought about this. They announced at Revolution that there's going to be a ladder match. What was it? The King of Revolution? Is that what Cody said tonight? Hold on, I got it here. He said, I think it's the King of Revolution. Ladder match. The face of the revolution. Face of the revolution. It's going to be 6 people in a ladder match. They announced 3 participants tonight. Penta, Scorpio Sky, Cody Rhodes. No problem with any of those 3. They'll announce the other 3, I'm assuming, next week. The winner of that ladder match will get a shot at the TNT Championship at Revolution. Isn't Darby Allin fighting, teaming up with Sting at Revolution. Darby Allin is going to wrestle twice, unless the Street Fight is a cinematic match and it's recorded a week or two before. But even if you think about that, if it's a cinematic match, how stupid is it going to be that Darby comes out and that doesn't make any sense at all. That makes no sense at all. The face of Revolution, ladder match, winner takes on the TNT champion. Later on in the night, that's what they said. Something tells me something's going to be tweaked. Is it possible Darby loses the TNT championship before Revolution? I don't know. But I always try to think one step ahead. And it's a little odd to me. A little odd. All right, so let's get into both shows. Let's talk about NXT first. And this was a mess. This was a mess. Early on, like a day or two ago, they teased MSK possibly fighting for the tag titles tonight. You all saw the graphic, MSK, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. You saw that graphic. Then on NXT social media, they show Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler. And here, this is a great example of what I've been saying about NXT's lazy banners hyping up the shows on Wednesday. They don't even put the names anymore. For most of the time, they don't put VS, that versus. They just put two bodies on the fucking screen. Like I said, if you look again, I'm sorry for showing this to you again. You see that with the red X? You see in the back of it, it's Karrion Kross, Santos Escobar. I made that banner because they didn't even put it on the fucking page. They didn't. So we're expecting that match to go on tonight. They post a banner with Nia and Shayna, Raquel and Dakota. And, I mean, yes, it's a confrontation, but they didn't tease it like that. They made it sound like they were going to get a tag title shot, and maybe tonight. Then MSK, they showed them with Lorcan, but none of that happened. None of that happened. The only match that was advertised, and they didn't even announce the match until 3 hours before NXT. And that was Shotzi and Ember Moon versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. And even that had a stupid ending. So NXT was a mess tonight. Thank you, Michael Gonzalez. Very, very thoughtful of you. The show opens up with Kyle O'Reilly. He can't make sense of what happened Sunday with Vengeance Day. He wants Adam Cole to come out and explain himself. Music hits. Instead of Adam Cole, it's Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong, he tried to defend Adam Cole's behavior, that the attack was simply emotion. Kyle O'Reilly didn't want to hear none of it. Next thing you know, Finn Balor comes out. And Kyle O'Reilly is like, I don't want you. I want Adam Cole. I want him to explain this, this, and that. And then Finn Balor again. It's not their fault. It's the writing of WWE. I brought it up Sunday after Finn Balor's match with Pete Dunne. And Balor was getting beat down. Undisputed Era made the save. And if you remember that moment where Finn Balor is sitting on his ass in the ring and Kyle O'Reilly has his hand extended and Finn Balor is very hesitant to accept it. And I'm saying to myself, that is asinine because they just teamed up in a non-title tag match against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, and they won. So why in storyline acting like you've never aligned up with each other recently? It was stupid. And then tonight again, you know, Finn Balor like, oh, I should have never accepted yet. What is this? I mean, is this for people who are on, like, I don't know, in a little bit too much in the sun in Florida, but I thought it was so stupid. Then you get Pete Dunne. He comes out. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, they attack those guys. Roderick Strong is out there as well. And it was even a stupid moment where Finn Balor is holding his ankle like he got injured. And then Pete Dunne starts attacking Finn Balor again, and he attacks everything else but that ankle. And then you announce that they're going to have a six-man match later on, and Finn Balor, he saw Randy Orton's doctor. I know Randy Orton's doctor is a plastic surgeon and did fabulous work in 1 week, but I thought it was a mess. I'm like, okay, what happened to the MSK stuff with Lorcan and Birch? So it was a mess. Six-man tag. You know what I expected? I thought Roderick Strong was going to turn on Kyle O'Reilly. But as I said with Mish on Monday, or we might have even talked about this yesterday on Patreon, I know people are now trying to clickbait, teasing that Adam Cole might be on his way out and then going to AEW. There's no proof of that whatsoever. I think this is just clickbait right now. But if Adam Cole stays, I'm thinking this might be similar of what Triple H did when he left DX. I'm not saying that Adam Cole is on the level of Triple H or higher or lower. I'm just saying that I remember when Triple H left D-Generation X to be on his own, first with China and then obviously Stephanie later on, but on his own for the most part, this kind of feels the same. Like, okay, here's where Adam Cole maybe branches out and will be always attached to the Undisputed Era, but now branching out as a single star. We will see. But I thought tonight, okay, if Roderick Strong turns on Kyle O'Reilly, then what? Bobby Fish is obviously going to be coming back soon. And I think Roderick Strong could still turn on Kyle O'Reilly. And we may even get something like Adam Cole and Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Who knows? Adam Cole to the main roster, James? Possible. Very possible. Not now. Not now. You know, when Triple H, you know, went solo, you know, it's not like he was on one brand. And I know they still did the Raw Smet, but he was still at WWE, WWF, you know. So Adam Cole, no, he's got to stay there. And this has got to go to WrestleMania. And then you got to ask yourself, you know, what happened to Karrion Kross and Finn Balor? I touched on it Sunday. Are they going to possibly do Balor versus Kross versus Cole versus O'Reilly? We may see a four or a five-way for the NXT Championship at WrestleMania. So keep that thought in the back of your mind. So we now get that goofy segment where Santos Escobar is in his car. No match tonight. No match. And William Regal looking in the screen. There will be a match next week or you're going to be stripped. Lousy, horrible, dumb, stupid. Obviously, there might be a medical reason as to why they put it off for a week. But this is like Thatcher. When Thatcher and Ciampa were going to have the fight pit match on the special NXT event. And then it was pulled. And then, Timothy Thatcher injured. He wasn't injured. I mean, stop with their own version of clickbaiting. If you have second thoughts that a match is not going to fucking happen, announce it a week early. You know, because they did that shit with Thatcher and Chum. And don't get me wrong, having a main event at Episode NXT was fun. It didn't pop a great rating, if you remember. But stop with this shit going into, and tonight to me was, I don't want to say it was clickbait tonight, so to speak. It was a lot of changing of writing. And I'm sure you're going to see ringsidegoofs.com tomorrow say, oh, we got exclusive news that all of the matches were changed last minute, the direction of blah, 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 triple blah. Tonight was not very good. Ember Moon, Shotzi Blackheart beating Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. It was a fun match. But the storyline is that Dexter Lumis kidnapped Austin Theory on Sunday. And I like the way it has really grown on me. I am ecstatic that Johnny Gargano has reinvigorated his NXT career for the last 6-8 months. I've enjoyed all of their work recently, but them coming out with a flyer, have you seen this person, and acting all serious about it, gave me Billy Kay vibes. Coming out to ringside with fucking picture resumes and stuff, promo photos. It was awful. Then we see clips of a van outside. Johnny Gargano runs out of the building, and he rescues Austin Theory. Austin Theory's got zip ties around his hands, wearing boxer shorts, okay, and he's rescued. So what happens? Candice LeRae runs up the rampway. There's a match going on. Indy Hartwell gets distracted. Indy Hartwell gets rolled up and gets pinned. Candice LeRae is looking at Indy Hartwell like, you lost? And I'm saying to myself, this storyline sucks because Candice LeRae is up the rampway too. So he's rescued. Moon and Blackheart get the win. Oh, like I said, this just fell flat tonight. Pat McAfee basically telling social media, you all thought I was wrong about Adam Cole. I proved right. He's a snake, calling social media scumbags and all that. Good. It's a storyline, everybody. Sure, you're going to have goofs tonight. You're going to be like, oh, Pat McAfee made all of you stupid. No, he's probably talking about you. Not anybody here, but you. Isaiah Swerve Scott, my God, I'm taking my own results. But I do check out a lot of other website recaps from the shows to make sure I didn't forget something that I might have not written down. And I read at least three different websites tonight saying that Isaiah Swerve Scott turned heel tonight. He was cocky and beat up. I'm like, have you seen any of Isaiah Swerve Scott's work the last 2 months? This guy's been teasing a heel turn. Oh, man. So anyway, Leon Ruff beats him unexpectedly. This, what the commentator, this has to be an upset. Isaiah Swerve Scott is pissed. And guess what? That quarter hour rating is going to suck. Casey Catanzaro, Caden Carter beat Aaliyah and Jesse Kamiya with Robert Stone. Not much there. What happened was after the match, Casey Catanzaro walks up the rampway. And she sees Xia Li. She's trying to get through to Xia Li. I wasn't planning on this, so this might be an epic fail. I don't even know if it works on skin. Xia Li's looking at Casey Catanzaro, and Xia Li, because she's got the black ink, you know, on her fingers, she basically does this to Casey Catanzaro. That's all she does. And Casey Catanzaro, like it's made out of like battery acid, she's like, and basically Xia Li just says, next week I'm going to beat the fuck out of you. All gone. Xia Li has got to annihilate Casey Catanzaro next week. Has to annihilate her. I'm loving everything they're doing with Xia Li. I don't know if Xia Li versus Io Shirai is in the works at all. Doesn't feel that way to me. But they are doing a fabulous job with Xia Li. I like it, man. I like it. Yeah, Ben, we talked about JR calling Kenny Omega the WWE champion, a slip of the tongue. You know, it happens. It's not that big of a deal. Oh, no. Mr. Mike, I agree with you. Definitely way too soon for Xia Li to get a championship match. But I think a little bit ahead, and I just close my eyes, legit, and I picture Io Shirai and Xia Li, and I'm like, okay, could that tear it up? You know, like, people are making such a big deal about Cameron Grimes to the moon. I like the vignettes. I like the story. I like the story behind the story. Problem is, and this is where nobody talks about it online, when this guy goes back in the ring, what is he going to do? The only thing I could see different is if he's got a $100 bill, shoves it in somebody's mouth. If he goes back in the ring, to the moon! Like, okay, it's the same shit as before that we didn't like. The vignettes are great. What else? That's why I think the vignettes have to lead to somebody scamming him, and you see the cars being towed away, and he's homeless, and he's disheveled. I mean, that's where they got to go with it. But, you know, I mean, my God, it's like people want to live vicariously. Oh, let's live vicariously through Karrion Kross because he's got a hot babe and he's got physically fit and everything. And I'm not criticizing Karrion Kross. Oh, let's live vicariously through Cameron Grimes because he's got millions of dollars in Lamborghini. To the moon! It's a fucking story. Once he enters the ring, and then what? And then what? So, I enjoy the vignettes. See Zia Lee. We saw all those vignettes, you know, and what were we worried about? We were worried about WWE actually having it interpreted into the ring. She comes in, and she's got the Goldberg matches. Kick, punch, kick, done. Just no jackhammer. She's too short to do a jackhammer, in my honest opinion. But it works for her. It works for her. You got to worry about what does WWE do next? They've had a lot of wrestlers that they had great vignettes, and then when it came to the ring, it was a wet fart. I don't think Cameron Grimes needs a bodyguard. Why? What, an Omos? Omos? Why? Why doesn't he? First of all, and I'm gonna challenge you, Jason, and I'm saying this in all good fun and love. I'll challenge you on that. A lot of people think that he should have a bodyguard or a Virgil. I'll tell you why I disagree 100%. If I am a selfish millionaire, whether I hit a lottery or I bet stock or I stole it, and I'm bragging to everyone that I have money, the last thing I'm going to do is take any of my money and give it to anybody else. Fuck the bodyguard. I'm my own bodyguard. A lot of people kind of hate me right now because I have dedicated all of my time with the shows for my work and for all of you. And, you know, some people are angry at that. No, man. I'm enjoying myself. I'm doing what I need to do for me, just like all of you out there. You got to put yourself before everyone else. You know, so, no, I think, yeah. Psycho, exactly. It's my money. What's that TV commercial? It's my money and I need it now. It's my money. I'm not sharing with anybody. How do you want to share with my fiance? I got my stimulus check. Oh, we get to go out to dinner? What are you, fucking crazy? I'm going to buy myself a new microphone. not that bad. But you see what I mean? In storyline, you're a selfish millionaire. You're bragging everyone. You tease the money, but you take it away. J.G. Wentworth. Doesn't that guy, I've said this before, watch that J.G., say that fast 10 times, J.G. Wentworth commercial. That nerd sounds like Sam Roberts. To the day I die, I will tell you, that it sounds exactly like, if I was blind and I heard that commercial, like, oh, Sam Roberts is doing finance commercials now. It's my money and I need it now. So, no, I don't want Cameron Grimes to have anybody. It's all his money. I'm not giving nothing. See, what I would do even if I was him, like, I wouldn't tip anybody. Like, he was given throwing away money. I mean, that's why I think the storyline is he ends up going bankrupt. Because just giving away money is being careless. But if that was me and I had all that money, you know, somebody wants to open a door for me. Somebody wants to deliver something to my house, you know. And, you're like, I'd be like, ain't giving you fucking nothing, man. Here, take this WWE Network card. It's going to be worthless in about 3 weeks. By the way, I'm still waiting for an answer about this. For all of you out there that have prepaid WWE Network subscriptions, are we getting these refunded? Are they turning into gift cards? This, look, I haven't scratched this off. This is legit. I have four of these. What are they doing with it? I'm not keeping it as a collectible. I want my $240 WWE. Damn it. Did the screen just like flicker because of that? All right. Anyway, let's get back to the shows because I want to get out of here. How long are we going so far? About an hour. All right. So next week, Zia Lee, she beat this shit out of Casey Cannizzaro. We now have the segment with Nia, Shayna. I loved this segment. Bringing up the history of Shayna Baszler and Dakota Kai. Nia Jax, no insult to Dusty Rhodes. She even said, when Dusty was alive, God rest his soul, he said I was the biggest, baddest bitch. And I am the biggest, baddest bitch. Raquel Gonzalez says, Dusty Rhodes, God rest his soul, but he never met me. Very respectful, trash talked, no accolades. Dakota Kai telling Shayna Baszler, I'm not that same person. No more shines. It worked. It worked. Mr. Mike thinks it fell a little flat. Well, you know, because you know what it is. I'll tell you why it fell flat. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are best when they're feeding off of each other, insulting each other. Raquel Gonzalez is not a master on the mic. In fact, if you pay attention to Raquel Gonzalez, and I am a huge fan of her, as you know, every week I sing the praise, been singing the praise of her for 9 months. Everybody said she's, you could see it's coming together, and it's wonderful to see it in real time. But Raquel Gonzalez, when she tries to be very realistic with her anger, a little bit of Spanish comes out. Yo, Chiquita. You know, I got news for you, Chiquita. Like, some Spanish word comes out. And that's her trying to, like, be like, oh, she's hardcore. You know, that's when you know. Dakota Kai was never really solid as far as promos go. So, yeah, all four of them are not masters of the mic, but it worked well. It did what it needed to do. And in 2 weeks, I got news for you. I'm actually really looking forward to this match. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what would happen if Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez won those belts. I like Nia Jax, man. You know, I've, for the most part, supported her most of the time. Some of the injuries, I mean, I'll never forget what she did Asuka's opponent, Kairi Sane. That was horrible. That was horrible. I mean, some of that was Kairi Sane's fault. I mean, I know some people hate to admit that, but most of it was Nia Jax's fault. But Kendrick, the WWE Network is still in force overseas as it was before. You could let me be clear about this. For all of you out there that still want the WWE Network instead of Peacock, you could still have it. Even if you live in the United States. Now, I know immediately people are like, DT, you're a fucking liar. That's not true. If you get a VPN, one of those VPN things or whatever that blocks your IP, then you could claim that you live overseas and you could watch the network still. That's why even with AEW pay-per-views, I'm sorry for my international friends out there, but I get pissed off when AEW like makes us in the United States pay like $60 or whatever it is for the pay-per-view. No, but if you're overseas, you could pay $14.99. And people tell me all the time, DT, just get one of these VPN blockers or whatever it is so they don't know, they can't tell where you're living or whatever, and you pay international. Then I know the politically correct out there, you're just ripping off people for money. Shit, I get that when I do the shows. Oh, by the way, I am angry that my Blu-ray that's in my computer inside was not working. But tomorrow, I have a USB external DVD player that I could plug into any computer. It's at the parents' house right now. I'm going to take it home tomorrow night. I started pulling all of the DVDs of managing matches I was in for some indie wrestling groups out there. And, you know, we'll release it first for the members on YouTube to get a little treat, and then we'll make it available for everybody. But I decided I'm going to start releasing all the god-awful stuff I used to do back in the day. So if you want to see a big potbelly DT from 13, 14, 15, 16 years ago doing hokey stuff in wrestling, I'm going to start launching it next week. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, Fight TV is actually affordable. It absolutely is. Absolutely is. Now, what was cool about Nia and Shayna and Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez was MSK. Because this was the trophy presentation. So not only was Raquel and Dakota in the ring, you had Nash and Wes in the ring as well. So MSK cut their promo about, you know, wanting to go for the tag titles. Fine. They click. By the way, there is a wonderful video on social media right now. I know both members of MSK put it on their Twitter accounts. I'm sure it's on Instagram everywhere else too. Some behind the scenes and some reaction after winning the Dusty Cup. And it's really, really emotional. It's really, really good. Go check it out. You'll enjoy it. But they're in the ring. And, you know, we know that they're excellent as a team. We know that they're really close in real life. And, you know, they cut awesome promos. And they bounce off of each other. And tonight, you got to see a lot of that comedy fodder as well. Because Beth Phoenix, who is presenting the trophies, when Nia and Shayna came out, and they were kind of like doing the nasty eye, you know, dirty looks to MSK, and they crawl and go to the corner. And when you started having a confrontation with Nia and Shayna and Dakota and Raquel, MSK is with popcorn. Beth Phoenix is with popcorn. At the very end, when Raquel says, I'm going to take this trophy and shove it up that hole, Wes was on the floor acting like he had a heart attack, laughing. They really, I mean, just excellent. Excellent. They actually made the overall segment even that more enjoyable. So Kushida over Tyler Rust. You know, I mean, Tyler Rust, I like him, but they really missed the boat. When you have Malcolm Bivens and he's like, oh, diamond in the rust. You should have just put Malcolm Bivens with Leon Ruff. And then you have the perfect thing. Diamond in the rough. Diamond in the rust. What is that? I'm not feeling Tyler Rust. Like I said, and I'm sorry for being a jerk about this, but I've brought this up before. Oh my God, I'm drawing blanks right now. Oh shit, because it's late and I have so much on my mind. Who's the guy that came into WWE? Anyone with two hands has a fighting chance. Got destroyed by Braun Strowman and his WWE career was cemented. All right. Again, there's like 3-4 second delay in the chat. So James Ellsworth, thank you very much. James Ellsworth, Lewis, thank you. If James Ellsworth was of normal height and did roids, just to pump his body up a little bit, he'd look like Tyler Rust. Seriously, if you look like Tyler Rust, if you look at him closely, it looks like if James Ellsworth was a normal-sized person that might have done a little bit of juice just to build a little bit of muscle mass, that's what he looks like. Lone Wolf, Smoking Hydro, Austin and Phil, Chris, Sergio, Austin, with the late entries, but that's cool. He looks like Ellsworth. Look at it close. His neck even kind of looks like Ellsworth. Zoe Stark over Valentina Feroz. Zoe Stark is good. We talked about her a couple of weeks ago. She can actually go. You know, I kind of would like to see Mercedes Martinez and Zoe Stark go at it. I don't know if you all feel that way, but I would like to see that match. Karrion Kross and Scarlett, you know, basically hyping up next week. Gives him an ultimatum. You know, Santos could either get his skull caved in or he could run away scared. Again, keep Jordan Devlin in the back of your mind. This will come into play. Maybe not next week, but within the next 1 to 3 weeks, Jordan Devlin's name will pop up and will be incorporated in the storyline with the title. I just don't know if I want to see Karrion Kross versus Jordan Devlin. I don't even know if I want to see Jordan Devlin versus Karrion Kross versus Santos Escobar. I'm not sure if I want to see that. Got to think about that a little bit. So the main event tonight, yeah, Zoe Stark was great tonight. Excellent. The main event tonight, Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor, Roderick Strong versus Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, Pete Dunne. I love Pete Dunne, but I'm still not feeling Lorcan and Burch at all. Not at all. The match was fine, but stupid ref bumps, man. Again, just awful ref bump. And the worst part about the ref bump at the very end, go back and watch this. I think it was Danny Burch was trying to grab his title. This was the fucking ultimate ass backwards. I want you to picture this. If you didn't see this, I want you to picture this. Danny Burch is outside the ring. The referee is inside the ring. Danny Burch is trying to grab his title, and he's outside the ring. And the referee is playing tug of war with Danny Burch. The referee is inside the ring. Now, just picture that. The referee is pulling the title inside the ring. It should be the opposite. And while this is going on, the ref bump happens. Go back and look at it. I'm like, this is awful. A referee is trying to pull the belt inside the ring. Who cares if one of the wrestlers have the belt outside the ring? You bring it in the ring is when you get disqualified. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. Then at the very end, Adam Cole shows up, attacks Kyle O'Reilly. Finn Balor suddenly totally incapacitated from another ref bump. Adam Cole suplexes Kyle O'Reilly on the ring steps, which looked pretty good. But in the end, you know, Roderick Strong tries to get involved. Pete Dunne basically nails Balor. Roderick Strong ends up, you know, gets attacked. And we have Dunne, Lorcan, and Burch get the win. And that's how we go off the air. Yeah, I think Kyle O'Reilly is okay. I mean, the bump looked great. But, you know, I don't mind referee bumps. But again, if you go look at what happened right before that referee bump, why is the ref yanking the belt into the ring? I don't know. But, you know, we don't. And here's another thing, too. Adam Cole was on Twitch playing video games over the weekend. And, you know, obviously everybody's asking him. Well, it might have even been Monday because obviously NXT TakeOver was Sunday. So it was Monday, maybe Tuesday. And a lot of people were asking him on Twitch about what happened Sunday. And, you know, obviously, you know, he's not going to spoil it. So he's like, you know, just tune in Wednesday. We really still have no, conclusion. Okay. Now I see why people are hoping Kyle O'Reilly is okay. Thank you, Lev Twix. I did not know this because I went live right after the shows. After the show was over, Kyle O'Reilly had a seizure. So, wow. Yeah, I hope he's okay. Yeah, I know he has diabetes. So, you know, your blood sugar is low. Wow, they get a seizure from that? Oh, man. I hope he's okay, seriously. I hope he's okay. So, man, that sucks. I really hope he's okay. Probably makes some people feel stupid who were cracking insults about Kyle O'Reilly tonight. Oh, we got to just get along. Yeah, that method goes out the door when. So, NXT. Oh, you know, he always looks pale, honestly. Kyle O'Reilly, to me, always looks pale. It might just be my TV. Hell, look at the screen over here. Look how many months it took me to fix the yellow. I mean, I look like a pumpkin sometimes over here, but I hope he's okay, seriously. That's no joke, man. No joke at all. So, I don't know what they're doing with Bronson Reed. You know, giving a little bit of support to Kushida is nice and everything. And then what? You know, it's like, all right, it just felt random. Bronson Reed was seen with Edge. That felt random. So just trying to keep his face out there, I guess. Shout out to Jay Carlos. Thank you so much, my friend. I really appreciate it. You know, tomorrow's going to be a big day. I hope to God they don't cancel the vaccine appointments we have, because tomorrow is injection number two. And then we purposely planned it for Thursday, so any side effects, I deal with it over the weekend, and by Monday should be good to go. So I'll keep everybody updated tomorrow. I mean, if the appointment gets postponed, then we'll probably have to get it done Saturday or Sunday. But I'm hoping that snow holds off tomorrow and long enough, because our appointment is for 12 o'clock. So thank you, my friend. Oh, and by the way, I don't have it in here tonight because, like I said, everything was so crazy today. But for everybody that was with me the Friday before, where we all got together and we all, you know, got technically a card, and, you know, I got him a cameo. Some of you know the story already. I posted on my Twitter earlier today some photos of it, so I didn't get a chance to put it here tonight. There was just so many things going on. So, oh no, I'm pretty confident I'll be fine, Lone Wolf. It's just, you know, it's a lot of emotion too. You know, I mean, to go through this shit for a year and purposely trying to keep Uber busy, to not let that, you know, that stress and anguish and disappointment creep in. A lot of shit that I was supposed to do in 2020, I did not do. So I'm trying not to, like, even give myself a chance to just sit back, and then negative shit start creeping in. So, you know, it's something that when you realize you get the vaccine and you get the second one, and then a month from now, I'll have enough antibodies that even if I come across someone who has it, my body should be able to kick its ass. So, you know, it's a lot of emotion too. Plus the worry for my parents catching COVID diminishes substantially too. So thank you, Brian, Lone Wolf, everyone else. Thank you. Havili says, will it be Finn Balor versus Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole, or Balor versus Cole? We still don't know what's going to happen with Karrion Kross after all of this. So it could be a four-way, a five-way, could be a six-pack challenge, could be a ladder match at WrestleMania. I know people are talking about a takeover right around WrestleMania time, but I think the NXT Championship should be defended one of those two nights at WrestleMania. Maybe they don't. Maybe they do it right before Mania. But I think you could very well end up having a five or a six-way at Mania. So we got to see where the storyline progresses. I mean, we're still, what is this, February 17th? So we're still about a little less than 2 months away. What, 53 or 52 days from WrestleMania? So shit's going to start, you know, kicking into gear. I mean, that's why the whole turn happened at TakeOver. We're in WrestleMania season now. And NXT is a part of WrestleMania. Even if they do a takeover before Mania, it's still a part of the season. You don't have WrestleMania, you know, the season kind of ends at WrestleMania and then it all begins again. You do the same with NXT in a lot of ways. So I hope they do the title at Mania. We'll see. We'll see. Now, AEW tonight. Yeah, I got to show it one more time. He earned his wings tonight. He earned his AEW wings tonight. He should have shut a lot of people up tonight that he could take some bumps. AEW tonight, to me, fell flat in a lot of ways. I have been talking for 2 to 3 months now how the Inner Circle's ratings are not impressive anymore. That's why you rarely ever hear Demo God anymore. Once in a blue moon, you hear it. But AEW opens up tonight with Hangman Page and Matt Hardy beating TH2. You basically have the same finish like Matt Hardy's been doing. Hangman Page does all the work. Matt Hardy hits the Twist of Fate at the very end. And after the match, basically, Matt Hardy grabs a mic and he wants the fans to cheer Hangman Page. He said Hangman Page looked like $1 million tonight, and he wants Hangman Page to make all the money because Matt Hardy gets 30% of it. Hangman Page brings out the mascot for the Jaguars because that's who's supposed to obviously be a witness. So stupid. Jaguars mascot comes out, and basically something is up with the contract, and the contract pulled a fast one. The contract is not to have them join up, but instead it's for a match at Revolution. And the stipulation is, if Hangman Page wins, he gets all of Matt Hardy's earnings for the first quarter of 2021. Stupid. Very stupid. Matt Hardy proposes if he beats Hangman Page, he gets all of Hangman Page's earnings for the same time period. They shake hands. The mascot attacks Hangman Page, and it's Isaiah Cassidy. Hence the match next week that we talked about earlier. So TH2 starts beating down on Hangman Page. The Dark Order try to make the save. Five, who Zero give a shit about, honestly. I mean, he gets laid out by Matt Hardy. But in the end, basically Hardy retreats, Isaiah Cassidy retreats. And now we have Matt Hardy and Hangman Page at Revolution. Okay. But a lot of the stuff leading up to it I thought was dopey. Santana and Ortiz talking about their title title opportunity, first time, I guess, in 18 months. And they talk about Sammy Guevara, MJF, saying that Guevara crossed the line last week. Jericho tells MJF to shut up because they all saw the video of MJF trying to goad Guevara into saying stuff. But he said it's also Sammy Guevara's fault. And when you walk out of the inner circle, you walk out on Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara is dead to the inner circle. Guevara went on social media to write a couple of things. You know, like I said, this is what we talked about last week. You know, it's not going to really progress into anything right now. And again, I don't mind Santana Ortiz fighting the Young Bucks for the tag titles. In fact, you know that match is money. Yes, at Revolution, you will have MJF and Jericho fighting for the tag titles too. But you think of the whole storyline as far as what tag team in the inner circle was going to branch out and go for the tag titles. And meanwhile, Santana Ortiz get the shot before Jericho and MJF even get it. And then they had the Battle Royal on top of it. It was just, I don't know, just not feeling it. Not feeling it. So they then announced that the next round of the Women's Eliminator Tournament on the women's side was going to be on YouTube. So by Monday, we will know who will face that next round. And I think it's going to be, like I said earlier, Nyla Rose and maybe Britt Baker, which would be interesting because technically two heels. Rio beating Serena Deeb. Excellent match. You know, Mish and I have had a lot of debates about Rio in 2020. I like Rio. I have no problem with her. What I liked about this match tonight is Serena Deeb is not that much bigger than Rio. Very comparable in size. So when you see certain moves being done, you know, it's not a hard, it's not a stretch to believe it. But in the end, Rio locked on the Gato clutch for the win. So on the next round, you have Rio versus Thunder Rosa. They put on a clinic tonight. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. I like the Young Bucks, Santana Ortiz. The roll-up cradle at the end was kind of eh after all of that. But I tell you, I think some people will probably say they liked Rio and Serena Deeb even more. I mean, they really clicked, but I don't think there was any shock. You know, as soon as you saw Rio on the women's side, the USA side, it just felt like, oh, okay, I get it. Rio's going to advance, and you put her on the opposite side. There's a lot. You saw that a mile away. So it made it very uneventful, and I got news for you. You know, when you see somebody like Aja Kong, we're probably going to see some bullshit DQ come out of one of these. Jade Cargill shown training with Shaq. I've sung the praise of Jade Cargill already. Very surprised WWE passed up on having her come in. We'll see what happens. Be 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, we will see that match. A lot of Gaga. Most of that match will be... Oh, and by the way, a lot of Gaga in 2 weeks as well. I'll explain why in a moment. Orange Cassidy beating Luther. You know, I have nothing against Luther. Best friends with Jericho. Or, you know, was his best man in his wedding, I believe. But Luther... just to me, it just feels like filler. By the way, what happened to Miro? What happened? I know Kip Sabian, you know, what happened to like footage of the honeymoon and stuff like, where are these skits? How do you have someone be the best man and you have no footage of the best man doing a bachelor party? I know he cut that promo saying that he didn't do one, but it's like, what was the whole purpose of having the best man character and he's not doing anything being the best man? Yeah, the NWA, I got into a rant Sunday about the NWA. This feels like 1992, 1993 again, the title. In fact, I don't think AEW would have the balls to have Serena Deeb just throw it down. Dennis Carluzzo would be rolling around in his grave. NWA is pretty much done. LA Knight tonight, you know, cut a little promo in NXT. I'm looking forward to see what Eli Drake does there. You know, but what do they have left? You might as well change NWA from National Wrestling Alliance to Nick Wrestling Aldis. You know, because it's just Nick Aldis promotion. That's it. If Nick Aldis's middle name was William or anything with the letter W, NWA would just be his initials. Seriously. If Nick Aldis had a... We should change Nick Aldis's middle name and change it to, like, William. And that's it. NWA stands for his name. Nick William Aldis. Yeah, Miro should be wreaking havoc right now. 2021, Miro was supposed to wreak havoc. We're now, a lot of people don't realize it, we're almost in the third month of 2021. We're already 1/6 down just about in 2021. And look at all those people out there that made all those promises and resolutions for 2021. And 1/6 of it is already gone. And 1/6 of Miro's 2021 is already gone. Who Nick feud with? I have no idea. NWA's going to announce shows again. I think NWA will have shows again in the next 3 months. But by then, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. As we talked about earlier... There you go. Taz hits the ring. Team Taz. They're calling out Sting. What happened to Sting calling out Team Taz? Remember the advertisement? Sting calls out Taz. Team Taz. For the 15th time, Sting calls out Team Taz. We didn't even get that tonight. We got the opposite. Team Taz calls out Sting. Sting takes off his jacket. Oh, tough guy. Throws the bat down. Don't need the bat. Okay. All right. And then Sting, you know, gets a little bit of offense, gets attacked, and I'm saying, all right, okay. But when Brian Cage picked him up for the powerbomb, I expected the lights to go out, and when they came back on, maybe Darby Allin hits the ring. But no, the lights don't go out. Sting takes a vicious powerbomb from Brian Cage and leaves him laying. And again, I think Sting shut up a lot of people today. It's only one move. But to take that much impact on your back and your spine and be okay, if he was fine, maybe a little bruised, maybe a little sore, do that to someone you love and see if they're sore the next day. We'll see what happens. But I was very satisfied. For the first time, I was very satisfied in the segment with Team Taz and Sting. I thought it was fine. Liked it. Promos by Eddie Kingston. Promos by Moxley hyping up the main event tonight. Moxley, towards the very end of the show, calling out Kenny Omega. He's going to be fighting Kenta which we talked about already. In fact, like I said, that shirt that's floating around of Moxley versus Kenta, that shirt came out a week before Kenta's arrival. So we should have saw this coming. Didn't really see anybody talking about it. Not even me. Somebody's asking me about Taz, Anthony Diaz. Can we get Taz on commentaries impersonation? I give Taz that. He doesn't do that much anymore. But anybody that goes back on me when Taz used to commentate on SmackDown, one of the most annoying things was every time you would do commentary. And when he would get excited, he would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I would be like, oh, shut up. And I'm a fan of Taz. I like Taz. I loved his podcast. I loved his work in ECW. Bought into all of it. Owned a lot of the WWF merchandise as well. Lucky 13. But that commentating. I mean, you go back and you look at SmackDown when Taz was on commentary. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, shut up. I got fucking hate. I was going to put that as a ringtone for everybody that I hate. Like people who used to have my phone number that don't have it anymore. I changed it. A lot of people online don't have it anymore. I used to want to have that as a ringtone. I swear to God, this is about 15 years ago or so that, you know, I used to put special effects. Like I used to have a duck for somebody, but I was going to put that little sound clip on my phone. And when the phone goes off and it's, I know just to let it go to voicemail. Seriously, like a turkey. No, a turkey is, he's just, I don't know what the fuck he was doing, man. He would be like with Michael Cole and then, whoa, 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 whoa. Thank God he doesn't do it anywhere as much as like he used to. Thank God. Funny segment tonight, Don Callis. What are we, hour and 40 minutes? All right, we're just about done. Funny segment tonight, Don Callis, Kenny Omega in a school. I know it's Florida. I know Florida treats COVID a little bit differently than other states. But to watch all the kids with the mask, I understand it's Kenny Omega character. Prima Donna does what he wants, doesn't want to wear a mask, doesn't have to wear a mask. But to see all the little kids wearing the masks, and I see the teacher in the corner, and the teacher's not wearing a mask, and I see some other Matarazzo in the corner, and he's not wearing a mask. You know, I could see, I don't know. I mean, the segment was funny. And Kenny Omega basically, look, the little digs with New Japan keep coming. Go look up what Tama Tonga said recently about New Japan as well. But VJ, why was Omega wearing a women's top? He's coming off as a prima donna, a Casanova. I know a few people back in the day that would wear like colors that might be a little bit more feminine, peach, pink, lavender. I didn't have any issue with what Kenny Omega was wearing. I like that he dresses a little bit different and, you know, prima donna conceded. His stuff cutting the promo was hilarious because I don't know how those little kids felt about it. I'm not trying to take a shot at Kenny Omega, but I don't know if those kids really knew who Kenny Omega was. But it was funny with Don Callis there. Uncle Don. I laugh when I see Don Callis doing stuff. But again, you know, this forbidden door that they want to keep pushing, you know, you don't want to get into Dixie Carter territory when Dixie Carter used to hype shit on social media, especially Twitter, crazy hype. And then it would boil over like a wet fart. And yes, it is cool to see Finn Juice in Impact Wrestling. It is cool to see Kenta in AEW. I like the interpromotional stuff. It is fun. I'm not knocking it. But to try to make it seem like all of these groups are going to get together and give WWE a run for its money, which I know they're not trying to do, but you get a lot of goofs online that think like, oh, them together, combined, this blows away anything WWE does and this and that. You know, a billion-dollar company. And New Japan, I'm happy that AEW repaired that relationship. I'm ecstatic that Impact Wrestling repaired that relationship with New Japan. But I got to see it interpreted in ratings. Interesting that the Impact rating didn't come out today. And yes, I know it was President's Day, but I'm still a little confused why we didn't get the ratings from yesterday. Whatever. We'll know tomorrow. But if it doesn't impact, pun intended, the ratings, I mean, what does that say? What does that say? So, you know, I know as us fans, if we like it, who gives a shit about the ratings? I get it. But when you hype this as the forbidden door has been knocked down and you can't put a dent in the ratings, the only people that truly feel it at a forbidden door has been knocked down are the people involved and a very small group of people online. You know, you hype a huge shift. I mean, imagine if I'm doing a podcast and I'm hyping and hyping, you know, the forbidden door has been broken. I'm not trying to compare myself to them. My point is, if I hyped for a while, you know, like, oh, this person should do the show with me and you two should do this. And I hype it. And then finally, like, fuck it, let's do it. And then, oh my God, the forbidden door has been broken down. These two guys are doing a show. And you get 71 people tuning in. That's no forbidden door. That's not even a hatch. You know, that might be a corporate forbidden door. But as far as wrestling fans go, that's not a forbidden door. Shout out, Havili. Right now it is 2:47 p.m. and he's tuning in all the way from Australia. So much love. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. And definitely pay attention to the family. You are a member of it, and I'm going to put some treats up by this weekend, for sure. We'll all have a good laugh. I might even have to live stream. I have to do like Randy Orton. When Randy Orton did a recap of himself doing a recap, I may have to do a live stream of me doing a watch-along of me doing some stuff. Oh, it's going to be funny. But again, this forbidden door, corporate is making a bigger deal than fans. And I don't know if that is really the right formula to go. So, Young Bucks beat Santana Ortiz. We talked about it earlier. You know, originally the Bucks set up for the BTE trigger. Santana, and it was cool because they hit a double cutter. Santana Ortiz with the street sweeper, but Nick broke it up. And then out of nowhere, Nick Jackson does the inside cradle to Ortiz for the win. You know, I wish I would have seen, I would have liked a more eventful finish, but, you know, this was to set up the Inner Circle with the beatdown after. Kenny Omega doesn't get involved. Good Brothers get involved, but walking very slowly, like they act like they care about the Young Bucks. But again, it's stupid when you go back to the Young Bucks beating up Don Callis, and then you see Good Brothers with Don, you know, the Young Bucks the next week like nothing happened. Remember Battle of the Belts. Remember that. That's still going to happen. You watch. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Brandon Cutler, or as Jim Cornette says, Brandon Cutlet tries to get involved, and sorry, nobody gave a shit. And the only reason why they did that is to justify why Jake Hager was going to take on Cutler next week. Honestly, I don't have anything against Brandon Cutler, and he does a boatload behind the scenes. But even if that was me, I would probably look at the ratings and be like, you know what? I should not be booking me, or you should not be booking me on TV. Nobody gives a shit about Brandon Cutler. Thank you, VJ. Thursday is a fun show. I like that everything is just winging it. Nothing prepared. But like I said, I don't know if the show's going to happen tomorrow night because of weather. So stay tuned. If it's not so bad and I could get back here Thursday night, then I will come back here, do the show, and then Friday morning go back to the parents and do this shoveling, which I'm going to look forward to that shit. So FTR... no Tully Blanchard, snowed in Texas. They beat Mike and Matt Seidel. Match was okay. To me, it went way too long. I mean, I like Matt Seidel. Mike Seidel, you know, I haven't seen as much of. It was a fun match, but I think the outcome was obvious. After the match, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Marco Stunt hit the ring, and Luchasaurus with a little bit of a different mask. And then we find out later on in 2 weeks, get this, FTR and Tully Blanchard are going to team up and take on Jurassic Express. As much as I am going to enjoy seeing Tully back in the ring doing a little bit, one side of me is a little bit concerned that Tully Blanchard will probably interact with Marco Stunt more than anyone else in that match. I don't know if I'm gonna enjoy that. But the match tonight was fine. So in 2 weeks, we have the mixed tag, Shaq Cody, FTR and Tully versus Jurassic Express, and the Women's Eliminated Tournament Finals, which means that we should have the opponent for Kawashita for Revolution. Main event, John Moxley, Rey Fénix, and Lance Archer. They defeat Eddie Kingston, Butcher, and The Blade. Match was fun. Almost wish it should have been false count anywhere. I mean, it didn't really matter because the wrestlers who were not tagged in the match were brawling outside the ring. I mean, you had Lance Archer doing some crazy shit outside the ring, Butcher and The Blade, you know what they could do. But in the very end, you had Moxley and Eddie Kingston in the ring. You know, we remember their feud from last year, which was a lot of fun. But, like, Eddie Kingston hits that move that Jericho does, you know, with the back fist. I'm drawing a blank of what that move is, but he nails it on Moxley, and Moxley kind of like no-sells it and hits the King Kong clothesline to Eddie Kingston, and then hits, honestly, a very, very sloppy paradigm shift. Eddie Kingston looked like it just flipped over. Look, Kevon, I've been saying this now for a month. Lance Archer has become my favorite wrestler in AEW. Judas Effect. It's kind of like the Judas Effect. Thank you, Soulfly. Eddie Kingston hits kind of like a Judas Effect. By the way, I liked earlier, trying to remember who her opponent was. Hold on. Let me just pull it up. Zoe Stark's opponent. She... Well, it really doesn't matter who her opponent was, but Zoe Stark hit like a modified GTS. That looked nice. That looked nice. So I have to mention that with Zoe Stark because that modified GTS was sweet. But Eddie Kingston hits kind of like the Judas Effect on Moxley, and Moxley kind of like no-sold it. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, but I don't think anybody should be no-selling the Judas Effect. I mean, when Jericho does it, you know, you could play in storyline like Jericho does it differently, and Jericho really... Still, you know, if somebody's finisher is a spike pile driver, and then you have other people using it in their matches and everybody kicks out, you know, it kind of diminishes the move, in my opinion. Smoke and Hydro, they're just... Orange Cassidy, they're just treading water right now. They've realized that Orange Cassidy is best for live audience. Yes, they have some live audience there, but they're taking their time with Orange Cassidy until we have more fans back. Then you'll see them go full-blown with the guy again. But, again, Eddie Kingston hits a Judas Effect. Moxley no-sells it, hits him with a vicious clothesline, and hits him with a paradigm shift, which kind of looked lame. And he gets the win. Next thing you know, Gallows and Anderson hit the ring. They attack Moxley. They're holding him back. Kenny Omega hits the ring and announces, as we said earlier, that at Revolution, he's going to be generous, and he got the approval from Tony Khan, which to me makes no sense if you think of the storyline. That's why I think Tony Khan ultimately will turn heel and will be in the corner of Kenny Omega. It's got to be. But to get the okay to have a barbed wire exploding death match against Moxley, Moxley should have had a smile on his face. Instead, he was like I know he was selling the pain from the beatdown, but if you know anything about Moxley's character, he should have been almost having an orgasm when he heard Kenny Omega make that announcement. So that's how we go off the air. Again, I was not feeling either show tonight. It had its moments. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the women's eliminator match on AEW was excellent. Santana Ortiz versus the Young Bucks was excellent. The main event was fun. You know, I mean, good for Cody and Brandy, you know, with the reveal. On the NXT side, you know, the women's tag had a crap finish. The main event, you know, a lot of ref bumps. And, I mean, we obviously expected it. But you take that away, I don't know, I just wasn't feeling it. Now, the ratings this week, I think both shows go down. I think a lot of fans probably turned the channel. And when we got into the quarter hours last week, it was pretty revealing as far as what kind of numbers. I think, I'm not going to shit on the exploding match concept, SoFly, until I see these two guys do it. They killed it with that, you know, that match they had in AEW that, you know, just, that was insane. I mean, when they removed the padding in the ring and started exposing the wood and all the they killed it. I'm not going to criticize Moxley and Omega, even if it is that gimmick. Let's see what they do. Let's see what they do. Especially that Moxley is a history of hardcore stuff. This guy's going to go insane with this shit. So we'll see. I personally think AEW, I would not be surprised if they're in the sevens this week. I think AEW 744. And honestly, that might even be generous. 744. I don't see it popping a great number. On NXT side, even with New Year's, not New Year's Revolution. What the hell am I saying? Even with Vengeance Day, even with the Undisputed Era, as I use the phrase, the end of an Undisputed Era. You never hear the phrase end of an era, end of an Undisputed Era. I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough. With all the changes that they did, and Adam Cole has been on tons of NXT episodes, and the rating has not been great. I don't think this is going to pop a controversy. Like, it was so controversial that everybody's got to tune in to see what happens tonight. I think NXT tonight, wow. I don't know if I would go into fives, but I would say barely cracking six. No, you know what? No, I'll stay with the six. I'll say 602. 602. That's what I go with NXT, 602. I think they're barely going to crack 600,000. In fact, if NXT does like 570, would not surprise me at all. I don't think it'll be that low, but I'll say 602. So, but anyway, with that said, I am going to jet out of here. We're a little under 2 hours, a little longer than I thought we were going to go tonight, and my light is about to fall. So, I hope everybody, no matter where you live, be safe. I mean, I know there's a lot of areas right now getting snow and ice that aren't used to it. And obviously, a lot of people were not prepared for it. So, look, you know, you've been hunkered down in a lot of ways with COVID. You know, hunkered down with the bad weather. And before you know it, it'll subside. Jesus, if I showed you footage of outside my window right now. I don't think it's snowing yet. I don't hear anything, but a lot of the snow was almost gone. And we had a lot of snow last week. We had it a week before. Almost all of it was gone. So what we get tomorrow, that's probably the only good thing about tomorrow is that a majority of the snow we had was already washed away. So it's not like you have 8 inches on the ground and now you get to pack another 10 inches on top of it. So stay safe. I will update everyone tomorrow. Follow my social media because I really can't post a YouTube. I mean, I probably can post it in a community section, but I've never utilized that before. But my social media, I'll let everybody know by the mid-afternoon if there's going to be a show tomorrow night. It really is going to come down to the weather. I mean, there's no question I'm obviously going to have to stay at the parents' and shovel because my father can't, obviously, and neither can my mom, and my brother's out of state. So if it's not so bad, because we're supposed to get a wintry mix Thursday night. So if the temperatures could be warm enough and it turns to like rain, then maybe I don't have to do as much. But I will definitely let everyone know by late tomorrow afternoon, Thursday afternoon, if there's a show Thursday night. If not, then maybe Friday night we'll do a combination. We'll do a little combination of what we do Thursday and Friday. We'll recap SmackDown and we'll, we still got to do predictions for Elimination Chamber as well. So we'll see. We'll see. Something tells me I'll be able to do the show tomorrow night. Friday might be the day that we can't do it. And if it looks like we can't do it, I will. I'll post it in the community section on YouTube. I've never used it before, but I will. So if you don't follow me on social media, just go to the community section. Probably around ratings time, because I know 4 p.m. Eastern is when the ratings usually come out for NXT and AEW. So right around ratings time, I'll have a good idea as far as what we're looking at as far as snow. If there's not a lot on the ground, then I will do the show Thursday night. And then early Friday morning, I'll go over to the parents. And then Friday, I'll be up in the air. So this is the end of the show. Much love, everyone. Be safe. And as I say always, if you enjoyed the show before you go, do it one more time. Smash that like button. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. And I wish you all a great evening. And thank you, as always, for the support. So I will catch you all again either Thursday night or Friday night. And hopefully I get my vaccine shot tomorrow. I really been counting down the days since I got the first shot. So fingers crossed. Let it snow after 12 noon. So, all right, everybody. Good night. And I'll talk to you all Thursday. Ciao.